We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Would you look at that? How about the Philadelphia 76ers getting the win over the LA Clippers on the road? And I did not see that coming. Welcome to the PHLY Sixers postgame show live from the Chegg in Marlton, New Jersey. We were here for the pregame. We watched the game here live with the crowd. Of course, our good buddy Tim from the Diehards, he has stopped by. Oh, we got a little surprise for you with Tim a little bit later. But Derek Bodner, Devon Givens, Kyle Newbeck on vacation. Brianna here live in Marlton, New Jersey. And Derek, I did not, as I said, neither one of us. Well, I can only speak for myself because you gave a score pregame prediction, but you never said who would win. I said the Sixers are going to lose. You said final score this. They won. They won.
And look, I might not have said it directly, but I then challenged you afterwards. You guessed correctly. I did not expect the Sixers to pull this one out. I thought this was a bad matchup for them. Both teams were rested. Like, for campaign to come off the bench and do what he did to get that boost from Tobias Harris, who we came in expecting pretty much nothing out of. That first half was maybe the best we've seen Tobias Harris play since Joel Embiid went down. And look, we were sitting there. I think they had, a 17-point lead there midway through the second. You were just waiting for the Clippers to wake up because it felt like they were in a little bit of a slumber. You know, it's only noon out there in L.A. Maybe they just weren't awake yet. They were playing a little sloppy. They don't exactly have a defensive intensity to turn up, but you just felt like they were going to carve the Sixers up in the second half, and they never got all the way. Every time the Clippers made a run, and they tied it at one point there in the second half, but every time they made a run, the Sixers had an answer, and they had an answer from multiple guys, whether that was Campaign, who ended up with 23 off the bench, Tobias Harris, who did a lot of crucial work early, ended up with 24 points on 11 for 19 shooting, or Tyrese Maxey, who ended up with 24 points, even though for most of the night, most of that was coming near the rim and on drives to the basket. That was just a real nice win to pick up, and one that I didn't see happening. I still don't entirely know how they won that game. Certainly the 18 of 37 from three-point range, anytime you are a plus eight in the three-point made column, that helps. But that was very unexpected. And like we just said, realistically, the Sixers only had to go 4-8 to give themselves a pretty good chance of a top eight seed. That's one of them, and that was certainly not one that I penciled in.
Sometimes you have to steal those. They stole one. We thought it was going to be the Lakers on Friday night. Post-game, when we did that show with Kyle on Friday evening or going into Saturday morning, we said that they dropped the ball on one. We thought that they had a really good chance in winning that one, and no shot this afternoon to beat the L.A. Clippers. But they did. They give themselves a chance now going in a back-to-back situation tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings to maybe close this out on a very, very good note. But that being said, there's a lot to point out. When you mention them being up by double digits and the L.A. Clippers fighting back, Derek, they were up 63-50 there in the second quarter going into halftime. The Clippers then cut it to 7. We were sitting here saying, talking to our buddy Vince, of course, our GM from PHLY, and asking, he asked us, what do they need to do? Where does the score need to be for them to give themselves a real chance in the second half? And we said simply double digits. Stay in double digits. Yeah. The Clippers cut it to 7.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, they're in trouble now.
And then not only that, but the Clippers came out and had a 6-0 run to start the third quarter, and you really felt like the wheels were coming off of it.
Yep.
But they got it back.
All right, we are live from the check here in Marlton, New Jersey, our home away from home. Sixers win 121-107. They have now improved to 39-32 on the season. And Miami hosts the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. So we're rooting for the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight while they are on the road against the Miami Heat. So with that, the Sixers position themselves pretty well. But while we're here at the Chag again, great food, great drinks, televisions all around. March Madness is still happening. Yep. So with March Madness is happening, games are going to be going on throughout the evening. If you do come back, both women's and men's side of the game there, you can still watch the TV here while we're here for this next hour during the show. Also, Easter brunch, March 31st, next Sunday. The start times for the reservations, 8:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 2:30 p.m. live here at the Chegg. Yep. Next weekend. We'll give you the buffet menu list as we go throughout, but they have a very good list on the menu. Buffets, $47.99 per person, $16.99 per person, 6 through 15, ages 6 through 15, 5 and under, free on Sunday. We know everyone likes to get out on Easter and go celebrate, however you celebrate, but if you want to make a stop and get some food instead of cooking, you can come here. We'll tell you what the menu looks like because it's not the normal menu. They have a special menu for that. With that being said, all right, Derek, you spoke about it. First campaign, coming off the bench, 8 for 15, no Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
So you knew the minutes were going to ramp up for him. 23 minutes and 58 seconds, just under 24. He had 4 turnovers. Sometimes campaign can do some things and get a little crazy with the basketball, but his shooting, his defense in a sense, because he had 2 block shots and a steal in this one also, but his shooting of going 5 for 10, took the most threes on the team this afternoon, and he finished with 23, and not only did he do that, but he hit some big shots in the fourth quarter where they needed them most as the Clippers, again, shrinking the lead. You needed to pull away. Campaign, he is not afraid in any moment.
Yeah.
And he fired them up, and when he did, they went in.
Yeah, I mean, look, campaign is sort of the definition of boomer bust player. He is going to take tough shots at his size, at his quickness. He almost has to. Even his shots at the rim are usually contested. Certainly his threes, his step back threes, his side steps threes are tough attempts a lot of times.
And the shot side release.
Yeah, it takes him a little while to get it off, so you have a chance to close out on it. He's going to have some nights where those tough shots aren't going to go in, or in some nights like tonight, where he shoots 5 for 10 from 3 and gives you a real boost of energy. They certainly do not win this game without campaign. And he was a driving force behind much of what they did late in that one. He was real good. And like I said, do I know if he can keep that up? No, because that's a real tough shot diet he lives off of. But he was dynamic today.
He was really, really good.
Yep.
5 points in the first quarter, 5 points in the second, 5 in the third, and then he went off for the 8, not necessarily went off, but those 2 of 4 that he took there in that fourth quarter, some big shots again, folks, because the Sixers were, this is during their stretch where they went on a run. At one point it was like 18-2 run, and campaign was a big part of that. He had a tough shot where he took a bad 3, but then he had the 2 good ones where they were in rhythm because he had already done something on the positive side where it felt good, and he took it, and the Sixers again were on that run. It wasn't just him. It was Tobias Harris with a big shot. KJ Martin with some good minutes there in the middle as the short roll man in the middle of the floor making decisions. A couple of times he hit Paul Reed on the low on the baseline, or he kicked the ball out to the perimeter, one being two, in fact, Tobias Harris, where he knocked down the 3 again, part of that 18-2 run. So they had their hands in a lot of things, but the campaign piece was really, really good because he ran the floor. You did not have Kyle Lowry. And when we talk about Kyle Lowry playing some really good basketball, even when he is not making shots, it's everything else, controlling the floor, the defense. defensive intensity, helping out as a team defender out there on the floor, and again, just making the ball move and not allowing it to be stagnant where the offense just stops. Campaign didn't do that either. Even when he did keep the ball and not pass it, he made decisions very quickly, whether it was for himself or for others.
Yeah, and that's part of why when he makes shots, it helps, not just because, like, certainly those 15 points I got off of his threes, that helps too, but also because it allows you to keep him on the floor and get some of that passing creativity, get some of that shot creation on the floor. He didn't end up with a big assist night tonight. I don't believe what he ended up with. Three assists on the night in 23 minutes, but I do think the ball moved pretty well, especially there in the second half, especially after the Clippers came back and tied it there. He was real good. Really, the ball movement overall, with the exception of some Tobias Harris moments, and look, some of those moments, Tobias was making them.
Yeah.
So he was making those, you know, mid-post fadeaways that he doesn't always make. But I thought overall, the ball movement was good, and that a lot of times leads to 37 three-point attempts. And unfortunately, this is the kind of team where lately they can get up 37 three-point attempts and make eight of them, and you have no chance to win. But that ball movement does lead to some high-quality shots, and they were able to knock that down here tonight.
But when you also talk about the threes that they made this afternoon, they made 9 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Now, they went 0 for 7 in the second quarter, but they made their shots in the second half, and they made some big ones there. Buddy Hield, we'll talk about him because he did struggle again, but he had some key three-pointers there in the third quarter where the Clippers cut that lead, and the Sixers, again, needed some shots to fall because they had a little bit of a drought there. But the ball moving, the three-pointers made tonight, where they made 18, you said, overall on the afternoon. This is what we talk about. A lot of times they win games where they make 11, 12 at max. But when you go and knock down 18 and the Clippers don't make theirs on the other side, you give yourself a pretty good shot. They put up 37 threes. You and Kyle talk about it a lot. The high volume of threes, if they have some good looks, take them. And you see what happens there, even including Mo Bamba. He didn't hesitate on his two that he took.
Yeah,
he made the
100%.
One. And even the one that he missed, it wasn't a bad look because you know he's capable of making it. But to get 37 of those off and make 18, 9 in the first quarter to kind of set that tone, that helps out.
Yeah. And to your point, I didn't know how much we're going to talk about Mo Bamba, but he came out in the first quarter. I think he had that three. He had two blocks. He had
seven
boards in the first quarter.
Right.
That was the most active and the most impactful we've seen Mo Bamba in quite a while.
And he was aggressive on the glass with those seven boards. All of them weren't two-handers, but when he was snatching them with one, he was snatching them with one. And that's what we talk about not seeing enough of.
Yep, and that's why it's sort of weird how today he ends up with 22 minutes, whereas the previous game he ended up with like 36.
Right.
I thought he played much better tonight. But then again, Paul Reed had a pretty good run off the bench as well. So they had good minutes from the center spot. No, he was big, and just having a little bit of stability there at the center spot certainly helped them. He did contribute with that early three, but more importantly, he contributed with his interior defense, with the rebounding. That was a big part of the win, too.
To get back to the campaign piece, we saw a campaign out there on the floor with Tyrese Maxey a lot. Normally, we see both Maxey and Kyle Lowry, or, of course, DeAnthony Melton when he's healthy, Buddy Hield as well, but Campaign and Tyrese Maxey out there a lot. When he plays 20-plus, that's just going to balance out with those two on the floor together. And their minutes weren't bad.
No. And, look, I think it's pretty clear that Nick wants another ball handler alongside of Tyrese as much as he can get, especially with Joel Embiid out of the lineup. I think that's part of the reason why you haven't seen as much Buddy Hield of late, because they want that Kyle Lowry, they want Campaign there alongside of him. I think that equation changes a little bit when Joel Embiid comes back and you're trying to run more of an offense around the two-man game, where Embiid is running a lot of your offense by himself through the mid-post there. But right now, like I said, if you can get a big boost from either Lowry or Campaign, it really helps your chances. And he was real good.
No, he was really, really good. He was exceptional today with the 23 off the bench. And you could argue that he was the star of the game just because that part was unexpected. Yes, you got 24 each from Maxey and Harris. Unexpected for the Harris part with the 24 because he was very, very good this afternoon, and we can only go off of what we've seen as of late. But the campaign piece just came out of nowhere, but he took advantage of those minutes with Kyle Lowry out, and they needed all of them from him, because as we talk about it, you see a lot of people talking about him being a little bit underrated in the chat with what he does. But big threes, Sixers are down. The Clippers cut the lead to 14 at one point after being down 20. And a lot of what we were seeing down the stretch there, and this is where I thought the Sixers were really good, they were stopping the ball. The Clippers were getting to the free throw line. They were stopping the clock.
Yep.
And you're wondering, okay, when is it going to happen? and the Sixers just kept responding.
Yeah.
And normally when we see this basketball team without, obviously, Embiid on the floor and Melton not out there, and you have somebody as smart as Kyle Lowry, we're waiting for the implosion to happen. It happened early, but they answered at every turn whenever the Clippers made their run. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I wanted to get back to that just a little bit because they had an answer every time, and when it was an answer, it was everybody from campaign to Tobias Harris,
yeah,
Paul Reed, KJ Martin, and certainly Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, and look, like I said, they came out firing, what'd you say, 9 threes made in the first quarter?
Yep.
And the Clippers looked like they were sleepwalking a little bit offensively, some real lazy passes, a couple from Paul George that were just, you know, aimless.
Seven threes. Sorry.
You figured two things would happen. First of all, the Sixers would start missing shots. They did in the second quarter, but then they picked it up in the second half. And you thought that the Clippers would wake up. Well, the Sixers started making shots again in the second half. They picked up their defensive intensity down the stretch. Do I think part of it was the Clippers had an off night? Yeah. But I think the Sixers also forced them into a bunch of mistakes there down the stretch. I do want to give the Sixers defense credit there in the second half. I thought they played well. I thought they played with energy. I thought Paul Reed, we mentioned Mo Bamba, but I think Paul Reed deserves a shout-out as well.
Yep.
I think he was real active defensively. They played a good all-around team game.
No, they really did, man. And good win. Great win for this basketball team on the road. And we'll get to the Clippers side of things also because I wanted to bring up a point. You said you have to give the Sixers credit for their defense. Give them credit for their rebounding, too. Both teams had a decent number of double-digit offensive rebounds, but for the most part, it didn't hurt the Sixers today. It did, in fact, though, hurt the Los Angeles Clippers for the Sixers to get as many offensive rebounds as they did. And with that, you know, we got to give a player of the game, the campaign here.
Yeah.
Campaign, you get the Coors Light player of the game here this afternoon.
It is a shame that Pat Bev was traded because I feel like, Pat, we could actually get him to drink one on the show one day. He was down one in a second.
No doubt.
Absolutely. But like you mentioned, from your day-to-day annoyances to the big stuff, like figuring out which center is going to get the majority of the minutes, it's very easy to get worked up and caught up in day-to-day life. But there is a chiller way, a better way to approach those day-to-day problems. Get an ice-cold Coors Light. And with Coors Light, you know you're getting an ice-cold beer when the mountain turns blue and on those bottles and cans. We have a string of them up here on our bench right now. You might think they are for show, but no, they are not. I have been having one during the game for a while. I thought it was going to be a one to commiserate the game, but as the game wore on and as they built that lead back up, it was a celebratory drink, and I'm much happier to have a celebratory drink. But either way, if you need something to refresh you while watching sports, cold Coors Light is what you're looking for. With Coors Light, you know they get cold layered, cold filtered, cold packaged beer for a smooth finish. Mountain cold refreshment. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYBasketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And this episode of the postgame show here is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions, my good friends from Manscaped. This season, make sure you groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out the winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. Yes, and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. It's beautiful outside. Embrace the season and enjoy the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our special offer, go to manscaped.com and use code PHLY for 20% off plus free shipping. We know you love free shipping, so take advantage of that. Oftentimes I'm talking to you as we start to get again in springtime here where I've seen a lot of people here while we are on the road, shorts all over the place because everybody's starting to feel good with the weather. When you do feel good, maybe you feel a little better down below as well when you want to be clean shaven. You want to feel not too much sweating as you're running or basketball or playing some softball, whatever you might be doing, some soccer, some outdoor events, whatever you're doing, you don't want to sweat. You want to make sure that you're in a good place. And introducing the season's champ again, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next generation skin safe, that's important, blade heads, a standard one for taking a little bit off the top or maybe a little bit more, and a new foil blade to go smoother wherever you're your heart desires. Also features a dual LED spotlight to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas so you don't have any accidents. Hate making a mess? No worries. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, the bath, or in the ocean. That's a little bit extra for you, maybe, while you're on vacation. Did Kyle take his on vacation? I don't know. That's up to him. He'll let us know when he gets back. If you love this thing, make sure you go out there and you get a spring clean. Doesn't just apply to the nether regions, folks. Get the full grooming experience with the Manscapes that signature beard hedger pro kit plus handyman electric face shaver. I have it myself. Got to clean the neck when I get back here from the show. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or just simply clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code PHLY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code PHLY at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants, folks. All right. Let us know in the chat when you do buy this, because I need to know that you bought it. You don't have to tell me much more about it. Just tell me that you bought
details.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tell me that you bought it.
You mentioned Kyle. Do you think we can get Bree to send him a link and get him to phone in from the beach?
I think he posted a photo on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying. If he's willing to participate, let's get him on from the beach.
Yeah, and at least hold the box up in the water. He doesn't have to do anything else. Just let us know that he took it on vacation and he has it in the water. Bree wants to know if you really want to send him a link. Send it for fun.
I mean, I'm not sure how he's going to respond, but sure, send it to him. Yeah.
All right, man. You mentioned the Sixers' defense and the rebounding going really well, and you also talked about how the Clippers were making some mistakes early on with their carelessness a bit in the first half. In the first quarter in general, they only had two turnovers, led to 5 points by the Sixers. In the second quarter, just one. But they were making some, as you said, some mistakes there. And I wanted to know this. Sometimes when the Sixers are fully healthy and they're playing below their standards against a lesser opponent, Charlotte, Washington, whoever it might be, maybe even the Detroit Pistons for a little bit, and we say, see, they took this team for granted. They're playing out there a little bit too much with their food.
Yep.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
And do you think that was the case here? As much credit as we're going to give the Sixers, because they earned this one here, especially in the second half when the Clippers cut that lead and tied it up at 70 apiece. Do you feel like a little bit that the Clippers took this team for granted on this Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think that happened throughout the course of a season.
Mm-hmm.
But the Clippers haven't been playing perfect basketball either.
Five in the last ten.
Now, what I will say about the last ten, they've generally lost to the really good teams and beaten the not-so-good teams. So, for the most part, they have not played with their food over this 10-game stretch and throughout the course of the season. So having one slip up there, I think certainly there was, like I said, it's one thing to miss shots, and that happens throughout the course of the season. But in the first half, I just felt like their passes were lazy. They weren't fully locked in. Their defense certainly and their rotations weren't as crisp as you would expect. But as the game wore on, I do think they tried to pick it up a little bit, and that's where I give the Sixers credit. When they started missing shots, they ramped up the defensive intensity. When they needed to execute well down the stretch offensively, I thought they did that, and I thought the Clippers, like I said, picked it up enough where I think it's both. I think it's in the first half, especially in the first quarter, I think there's some of the Clippers taking them for granted, but I think the Sixers then executed well enough down the stretch where they earned this win too.
Yeah, Mark Jackson here in the chat says this game was definitely earned. They definitely earned this one. This wasn't handed to them because of, to your point again, up by as much as 17 and the Clippers cut it in there, and we're sitting here saying, all right, they fought the good fight. Tobias Harris had a great first half and they did everything that they needed to do. You couldn't ask for anything better. They made their shots. The Clippers eventually made some of theirs. You knew they would. They would make a run. They would cut into that lead. But the Sixers responded, and you got to give them credit. And talking about that, let's get to Tobias Harris, because he finished with 19 in the first half, 24 overall, so only in the second half, 5 points. But when they needed him, because they were taking Tyrese Maxey away, Tobias Harris was aggressive. He was looking for his. He wasn't settling for anything. He was the aggressor on the early part of the afternoon in that first and second quarter.
Yeah, he came out, I think it was a corner three real early. It might have been the first bucket of the game.
Yep.
Had a mid-post turnaround that, if it didn't go in, I probably would have complained about.
Scored his first 7 points for the team.
Yep. He was real aggressive, real good to start. And I always think that picks up then on the defensive intensity for him. I think he was did a better job moving the ball. And this was a game where I thought a lot of players probably played above their heads in terms of ball movement. Kelly Oubre specifically, I thought, had a couple of nice dump-off passes there in the first half.
Three assists in the first quarter.
Okay. There you go. What did he end up with?
Overall, he ended up with six, tied with the lead with Maxey for the team.
Wait, Kelly Oubre had six assists?
Six assists.
I'm pretty sure that's a season high. I don't think he's had more than four.
I agree.
Season.
He had five. I know he had five a couple of times, but he had six to
Kelly
lead the
with
team.
Six assists. Yeah. No, I thought Kelly, and look, he didn't do much scoring after the first quarter. I think he had 10 of his 12 points in the first quarter.
4 for 5.
And then he went out for a minute there with, was it a bat? Did they announce what it was?
I didn't see what it was.
It looked like he certainly when he landed on his back, and he came back, and he wasn't quite as effective, certainly as
a
scorer.
But he had a hell of a block.
He had a hell of a block
on the break.
And he continued to move the ball pretty well. Were there some shots that I would nitpick? Yeah, he ended up with 11 or 12 points on 11 shots. Part of that comes down to shot selection. He had some threes there that I would question. But if the passing and the defense remain what they are and what they have been with Kelly, I thought he was real good, especially in the first quarter, but defensively throughout. He was good. And Harris, I mean, look, this is the Tobias Harris we thought we were getting when Joel Embiid went down. Like you said, he came out aggressive, scored the first seven, moved the ball well. If you got this more often, look, I'm not saying people would be happy with the contract because it's still a huge contract. It's still an anchor around the Sixers for the last 5 years. But they would, I think they would blame more Elton Brand and the front office that signed him to it rather than him, because this is the version of Tobias Harris where you can at least say he's a productive player. He's helping you win games. He should be in the rotation. I can live with this version of Tobias Harris.
If you got this version and anybody argued about it, I would argue with you.
It's not his fault. Everyone would sign that contract.
He's playing well. Yeah. You know, you're getting 19 in first half, 24 overall, and we just talking about 19 for a game.
Yep.
If you got that consistently, I don't think many of us, of course, there would be spots within a game where you would pick out and say, if he did this during the course of the game, maybe they would have won, or if he made this particular play here, of course, that might have been the difference in the particular game. But to get the 11, to set the tone early, and then to get to the 8, he took 8 shots in the second quarter in 9 minutes and 43 seconds with 2 rebounds and 1 assist in there. And during that time, Tyrese Maxey was on the floor for 9 minutes and 31 seconds and did not score a point. Only took one shot in 9 minutes and 31 seconds in the second quarter. You needed his 8 plus everything else that you got from the bench in that second quarter. But for Tobias Harris to set the tone, this is why we always repeat ourselves when we focus the show after a bad game with him. We always say it. Here we go again. We're repeating ourselves and talking about Tobias Harris. But when he does this again, we have to get back to it one more time, because we're saying, should you get this? This is why we put them in the category of the top tier teams in the NBA, where they have a chance to always win because of that level of play. The rebounding, where he grabbed this afternoon only 4 rebounds, but he had 4 assists. Also, the block shot, the steal, and certainly the pressure that he is putting on the defense to make it easier for his teammates to do what they do. They can't play off of Tobias Harris if he's playing this way. Yeah. It's going to make it easier for Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey to do what they need. And when they are off the floor and he's the focal point of the offense, you do this. And that's why we always talk about our frustration just showing and hard to ignore it because of the way that he plays like this and then disappears and we don't see this for 2 weeks. And that's the issue with Tobias Harris. But we're here to talk about the good in him today. They certainly would not have won this game without him. When we question, why didn't you play this way 2 points against the New York Knicks when you dropped 24 and scored 19 in the first half and a big part of it, hit a big 3 in the fourth quarter. Also, you got to give the guy the credit that he deserves.
Yep. I will not even bring up whether or not you trust him on the next game tomorrow night.
We'll worry about that tomorrow night.
Worry about that tomorrow night. Today is only for positivity. Way to go, Tobias.
More positivity to Tyrese Maxey. As we mentioned in that first half, he was not good overall in the first half. Tyrese Maxey finished with 5 points on 2 for 3 shooting. Good efficiency. Not enough shots.
No, but what did he have? 4 assists?
4 assists. The defense was flowing a certain way to him, and others were doing their job. 10 points for the campaign in the first half, 10 for Kelly Oubre, 19 for Tobias Harris, and then you had a few others. KJ Martin even had 6 points in that first half. But in the second, Tyrese Maxey, the all-star that he is, 13 points by the end of the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, he scored 11 on 4 of 6 shooting, driving to the basket, getting to the three-point line. Not necessarily the free-throw line, but getting to the three-point line, and he made both three-pointers in that fourth quarter. We didn't see enough of it in the Suns game. Second half, again, of the Lakers, he was good. Right here, once again, second half, he turned it up when they needed it. As Tobias Harris's play went down a little bit, he elevated his once again.
Yeah. No, and look, I thought, like you said, he didn't really have all that many. Both of his threes came in the fourth quarter. Is that correct?
Yep. He hit one more.
Earlier on?
In the first quarter.
Okay.
Yep.
But he was getting to his spots off the dribble, getting to the rim almost at will. And what I like about Tyrese is that over the last week, you know, Monday night against the Heat, he found his spots in the mid-range. You know, Miami's real good at preventing shots at the rim between Bam and their wings pinched down, and they really prevent you from getting all the way there. So he made 5 mid-range jumpers to help secure that win. Now you see it here. You know, he obviously has games where he's hot from the three-point line, or it could be like today where he's able to get all the way to the rim. Where, you know, the Clippers have a different sort of defensive strategy, and he is able to get to his spots off the dribble. He is finding different ways to pick you apart each and every night. And when he has help, when he has campaign giving you an unexpected boost, when he has Tobias Harris making teams pay for doubling Tyrese Maxey, Maxey is showing you that he is able to find out ways for himself to be as effective if the rest of his teammates are up for their share of the bargain. I just like the diverse ways he's found to be successful over the past week. I really think he's grown in terms of his all-around offensive game, not just the talent level, but figuring out how to take, you know, what the defense is giving you and figure out the flow of the game. I think he is improving each and every day. And even if it hasn't necessarily turned into a bunch of wins now, when the Sixers do have a more competitive lineup around him, when Joel Embiid returns, maybe when some of these role players return, I have more confidence in Tyrese Maxey now than I did 2 months ago. I don't know if that's necessarily something shared by a lot of Sixers fans because they haven't been picking up the wins, but I do think that is the case.
No, it's a really good performance from him. When we're saying it, again, we've talked about this, and sometimes you get a little bit of pushback. Maxey's not doing this, but we speak about how stars, they do what they do by allowing their teams to get rolling early on, to get them some early looks, and then they turn it up. And that's what we've really started to see as of late. He had the 3 games where he was averaging 30, then he dipped off a little bit, and we got on him about that. But in this case here, again, when you talk about how you like what you're seeing from him now, you're liking the development, the growth that he is showing as a number one option on this basketball team, and one where games, of course, are really, really important when we're speaking about the seeding for this Eastern Conference. The balance, the picking the spots of where he needs to go. Even as of late, Derek, I haven't seen him complaining as much to the officials when he's not getting the calls that he feels like he's deserving of. And today, to only take the 3 shots there overall in the first half, still want more of that, but he had the assists, to your point. Probably could have been a few more assists as well to go along with it. But in general, stars being stars, flipping that switch when need be. And that's what he's starting to show us a little bit more.
No, at no point throughout this game, outside of maybe like that stretch to end the second quarter, at no other point were they struggling to score the ball. So if you're worried about Tyrese not taking enough shots, but they're putting up 68 first half points or whatever it is, I don't necessarily think that's a valid criticism.
Yeah.
So I think they were running the offense well in the first half. It helps that they were making every 3 they threw up. That certainly helps, not going to lie.
Sure.
But when they needed him 2 down the stretch, he turned it on. He was able to get the rim. He was able to get to his 3-point shots off the dribble. No, I think he played a really good all-around game today.
And their money quarters, man, in this one. 41 in the first, and in the closing quarter, 33. 41-29 in the first, 33-24 for the Sixers to come away with this victory. We got to talk about a lot more people here that helped contribute to this win, and there are a number of them. We'll get to them a little bit more as we hang out with you here on the PHLY Sixers postgame show. Sixers win 121-107. And every week we give our stock up, stock down, our stock report, Sixers stock report, and we also tell you who may be the player of the week. And today, the bagel player of the game, we gave the Coors Light player of the game to campaign. going to go with the bagel.
Yep.
Player of the game and give it to Tobias Harris.
There you go.
For that 24. It was crucial for him to start off the way that he did.
Yeah. I'm just saying he might have a conflict of interest with the bagel giveaway.
That's all right.
Mr. Crumble.
That's okay.
That's
it's
fine.
A bagel.
That's fine.
It's not
That's
a cookie.
Fine.
It's a bagel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's all right. Yeah.
I'm just saying he might protest that. That's
he
all
might.
I'm saying.
He might. He might. I would hope he wouldn't because it's an honor to be the bagel
Absolutely.
Award winner, the Bagels and Co.
I'm not saying he should. I'm
award
just saying
winner.
He might.
And those Brooklyn-style bagels, though, made right here in Philadelphia with Philly love. Huge bagels, biggest bagels in Philly. They're very large, hence, again, the Brooklyn, New Jersey style. Large variety, usually 15 to 20 different flavors to choose from. Seasonal bagels as well, for instance, during Valentine's Day, a Valentine's Day-themed bagel. St. Patrick's Day. This month, St. Patrick's Day bagel. Maybe Easter. You never know which one you're going to get. And certainly the cream cheeses to choose from, 30 different flavors of cream cheese and schmearers, the staples and seasonal flavors throughout the year. That also change with the season. They cater to the various sports teams in Philly and Florida as well. And whenever they expand out there, you'll know where to find when you check with the great people. So when you look at the different types of varieties from the sports side of things, Eagles cream cheese during the season as well. They would do a 76ers cream cheese also now and through the postseason should the Sixers get in there. Philly's promotional type of stuff in the fall when they are getting ready for the postseason themselves, and you can check out Bagels & Co.'s Instagram page to see the visuals. Will certainly help speak more about the brand as we talk about it, but you also get to visualize it. And if you do that today, after a great win, you're feeling good and you want to go treat yourself for a bagel to start your week off right, you go and again check out www.thebagelsandco.com/store-located to get yours. Take it to work. Start off at home if you work from home. Bring that bagel right back. Well, which you'll also get with the bagels, affordable prices. In today's inflationary world, they don't want to make sure that they ask you to overspend. They want you to keep coming back. They've debated about it, but they decided against it. So the prices are certainly something that is favorable for you and your family, and they want to continue to keep coming back, not just splurging on the weekends, but on a daily basis. They aren't an artisan mom and pop, but they do have that feel. They cater to every individual. A lot of the customers are certainly repeat. You could be the next repeat customers. Have really good coffee. It's not $7 like Starbucks. And why go to Dunkin' and get a subpar product when you can come to Bagels & Co. and get a more premium product at the same price? So again, for the best bagels and Brooklyn-style bagels made right here in Philadelphia, head to www.thebagelsandco.com/store-locator to find the closest Bagels & Co. near you. We'll have them for Kyle since he is on vacation. We'll have the bagels here in Philadelphia.
I will also have an extra cup of coffee because I need that anyway. Kyle doesn't need it. He's on vacation. There's no coffee on vacation.
You can have the coffee, and it's affordable.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it.
We also want to make sure we tell you, I don't know if you've noticed, but it is opening day of the baseball season coming up here on Thursday. Mm. We have a watch party and a live show going on Thursday, March 28th at 1 p.m. at the South Philadelphia Race and Sportsbook. I don't know if I really need to sell this all that much, but it's opening freaking day. It'll be incredible. I am very much looking forward to it. Go hang out with Renee and Jamie and the crew down there at the South Philadelphia Race and Sportsbook. There will be giveaways.
Yep.
There will be all kinds of fun going on. It will be a great event.
I feel good about this baseball team.
I love having baseball back. Like I said, it is the one sport I get completely irrational back. I need that in my life. I need a little irrationality mixed back into my sporting fandom.
And it takes away the cold weather.
Which we both like. Yep.
Yes.
I hate the cold. I love baseball. I love sitting there in South Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park. It is fantastic. Cannot wait to kick that one off this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun,
And we have a day off.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we can go.
The
weather,
weather
is like somewhere in the 50s. Still a little chilly, so I might not be there for that one. But as we go along,
Devon's a June and July baseball fan, or in-person baseball fan.
May I can get into. You know, I can put a little windbreaker on, a little windrunner.
I know you got the hoodies.
I got the hoodies all over the place. Yeah. By the way, telling you about the hoodies, you got to check out my hoodie right here. Let me slide over a little bit. My chicken or the egg hoodie here in Marlton, New Jersey. In the white, you see the hoodie here. here in black on the table. They have the crew necks as well, T-shirts, hats that Derek has on. You see the sauces on our table and behind us. So when you come to the chicken or the egg, you can certainly purchase these products. It's very comfortable. Look at this. This hoodie is very, very comfortable. You know, great hoodie, by the way. You see it was on the right there on the wrist there. So you know it's a quality hoodie. So great hoodies here at the chicken or the egg when you're here. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to buy myself a hoodie. Maybe you got here and it's warm and you're hanging here all day. You go out on the patio and watch the game and eat some food. And you say to yourself, you know what? I'm a little chilly now. I didn't bring anything. Let me go inside to the Chicken and the Egg and buy one of these hoodies. You won't be disappointed. Bunch of T-shirts, tie-dye. You got the black one. You got one with like a different type of Batman theme where they have it going on here. Great spot. Easter brunch. We were telling you about this a little bit earlier. The Easter brunch, the buffet menu. Here's what we have. March 31st. The seating times, taking reservations for 8:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 2:30 p.m. These are when they're taking reservations. Derek, we always talk about the food being great. I had the wings today.
I had a little smokehouse burger. I will have wings. The great thing about doing a 3 p.m. show, I had lunch here. I will have dinner here. So I had a smokehouse burger here for lunch. I will have wings before we leave. It is fantastic.
If we are here early enough, and
we did have some diehards stop by. I asked them if they wanted to have a ludicrous wing. Every one of them turned me down.
Yes.
That's fine. I'm not saying I was looking forward to having the wing, because it is something you have to fight through. But I would have done it if they wanted to.
It is something
but
you have to fight
through. Regular wings. You had some wings earlier before the show.
I had the honey barbecue wings.
The non-ludicrous wings are fantastic, yes.
They're hot as hell. Hot as hell. The ludicrous wings are hot as hell. But if you're here for breakfast, as we talk about the 8:30 start time, here's what they have for you. Pastries and assorted bagels, yogurt parfait, fruit bar with granola, a waffle bar. Big waffle fan? I'm a big waffle fan, especially the chicken and waffles. I love the chicken and waffles. Mm-hmm. They do have toppings with fresh fruit, chicken tenders, sausage gravy, chicken and waffles. That's what I'm getting, folks. I'm getting the chicken and waffles. French toast, Texas-style cinnamon roll. Damn, French toast, Texas. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm in on that one. Bree, you shaking your head on that one? The Texas-style French toast, cinnamon roll? She says yes. We're in there. Scrambled eggs. For you, all of you, you can have my portion of the eggs. You can have that. Sausage links, bacon, pork roll, omelets to order. Let me keep running down the carving station. Ham and prime rib in the morning. That's fantastic. Also, you have the fried cod. Chicken Caesar wrap.
Okay.
Chicken salad, pasta salad, salad bar, home fries, crispy fries, and the dessert bar. Any of that really jump out at you?
I think we should try them all. We've been here a lot. We should eventually have to, you know, try them all. So give you a real recommendation.
Yes.
They all sound fantastic. I will say everything I've had here, because we've done, what is our third show here?
Fourth or fourth.
Everyone I've done here, the food has been fantastic. I've been trying to get, I tend to just get wings a lot.
Yeah.
I like to eat wings, especially when I'm at a place like this known for their wings. So
yep.
I tend to go to that. I should try more of their food, because everything we've had so far has been great.
Well, you had the drink and it was pretty good. How about these drinks? $5 screwdrivers, $6 mimosas, and $7 bloodies, one complimentary mimosa with the buffet. So everybody, again, if you're looking for something to do on Easter, you don't want to cook anything, come here to the Chicken or the Egg. Great bar, great dining area right here. To our right, when you walk in the main entrance, it's straight away. The bar is to your left. Plenty of televisions around also, and they're going to have a great, great spread here for the buffet menu. One more time, per person, $47.99 for all of that stuff that you can eat and drink. And when you're talking about 6 to 15, $16.99, 5 and under, eat for free. Make sure you come here for your Easter brunch in Marlton right here at the Chicken or the Egg. And buy yourself a hoodie or a T-shirt or a hat, and maybe take some hot sauce home as well. All right, Derek, let's get to a couple of the Super Chats here. Let's start with Jay here in the Super Chat saying, Ricky, with a bunch of fire flame emojis here. Go get him, Rick.
Yeah.
Had 3 points this afternoon in Los Angeles. He took a three-pointer confidently again. He does not shy. You know, he's not shy. He does not. We don't worry about confidence with Ricky. My only issue with it at the time, Jay, was I'm like, there's like 16 seconds left on the clock. And yeah. There's 2 minutes to go. The Clippers are scoring a little bit. Maybe hold the basketball a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah,
but he's Rick. No worries. I knew it was going in, too, just like you did, Jay. No, I didn't.
No, he went from bashful to, like, pulling up 30-foot threes with 16 left on the clock real quick. I don't know where that came from.
I don't
know. But he is not lacking confidence.
And look, the starters are already out of the game, but I'm still like, yeah, the Clippers keep scoring when they go down on the other end of the floor. Maybe hold the ball, bleed the clock a little bit. But Ricky, yes, go get him, Rick, Jay. And he did score there in the final few. Didn't get any minutes after seeing play well against the Lakers when they made that run and they cut into the lead to actually scare the Lakers a little bit on Friday night. Were you surprised at all that he didn't go? You know, maybe Jeff Dowden did get some run, but that was more because of who you didn't have out there. And Kelly Oubre also went out of the game because of that scare that he had by falling to the floor. But a little surprised that we didn't get a chance to see Ricky maybe a little bit more with KJ Martin because Nick Batum also did not play.
Yeah, Nick Batum was the DNP CD. I wonder, obviously we are not, you can see us, we're at Chicken or the Egg. We're not in Los Angeles. But I wonder if that is just to keep him fresh for the second half of the back-to-back tomorrow night. But with him and Lowry out, if there was going to be a game on this trip for Ricky to get real minutes, this was it, and he did not. I don't expect him to be part of the regular rotation going forward. Whether or not you like that or not doesn't really matter. We don't make the rotations. I'd love to, but that is not under my purview.
Yep.
So, no, I was a little marginally surprised just because those two players were out, but I'm not surprised that he's out of the rotation.
Yep. No, I'm not surprised that he's out of the rotation, just a little more of when you throw your guys out there and they do play well, maybe they've earned a few more minutes. But I guess it didn't call for it. It's just more of something that Nick Nurse will tuck away for later on to say that I can call on Ricky and get him out there on the floor. Our good friend Winona says, Devon, he's Ricky. Yes, he is. He was not afraid to take those shots. With that being said, let's go to our next Super Chat. We had, I think, our buddy Davon. Well, first, let's go to Valhos. Food sounds delish. Delish. It is.
It is.
Valhos. Yeah. It really is. So if you're ever in the area, even if we're not here, just simply stop by. Stop by Chicken or the Egg and enjoy a great meal.
Devon can vouch for me. I inhaled that burger in about 30 seconds. It did not last long.
I'm sitting here eating my food, and I'm eating my fries. I'm picking at my wings. You know, I'm eating. I'm talking to Vince, and we're talking. I turn around. Derek's pushing his plate away, and it's gone.
Yep.
It's gone. So that'll tell you right there, Valhos, the food is good. Derek, he devoured it. Next one, let's go to our buddy Davon, a.k.a. Schoolboy Beats. KJ made great decisions passing the ball today, and I agree.
He did. KJ played well. KJ gave him a real shot. And that goes back to sort of like the talk we're just having about Ricky. Nick Nurse trusts KJ more than he trusts Ricky.
24 minutes he played.
Yeah.
8 points.
And look,
4 assists.
I'm not huge on KJ as a whole. I think the last couple of games he's given them some pretty good minutes, so it's worked out. And certainly in terms of experience, in terms of NBA minutes that he's played, he has the edge over Ricky. And I can't complain about it tonight. I thought he played well.
No, the only time we complained about it was when we felt like the way the game was going and Martin got the minutes, Ricky did not. We felt the energy. While KJ Martin certainly brings energy, it feels like it's a little bit different when Ricky's out there on the floor. So, yes, absolutely, KJ Martin, he's earned him. And look, I got to say this too, Davon, when we talk about KJ Martin, it seems now that he's gotten more consistent minutes and he knows his numbers is being called. He has played much, much better. He's played so much better. So with that, I think it's just the confidence that he feels like his coach has for him, and he's played much better when his number is called.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, one more from Davon. Tobias, revenge game for trading him to Philadelphia. Well, it's 5 years later.
It's been a long time coming.
But we'll take it. We'll take it. He did look like Los Angeles Clippers Tobias Harris today.
Yeah, and if there's anyone who's probably going to have some or want some kind of revenge against Clippers, it would be Tobias, because the reason he was traded is because they didn't want to give him that contract. Now, it obviously ended up working out for him. He ended up getting a huge contract. But even that smaller, because, you know, at that extension would have been less than what he ended up getting on the open market. They didn't even want to give him that, so they traded him to Philadelphia, and the rest is history. But no, I don't think he was necessarily coming out here gunning for revenge, in part because the guy who made that decision to trade him ended up being his coach in Philadelphia, so he would have already had to reconcile with that. But no, he, like I said, if you can come out and give that kind of effort and that kind of aggressiveness every night, whether or not you make or miss your shots, I approve of that.
No question, man. And also, appreciate it, Tim, man. Our diehard Tim stopped by today, and we really appreciate Tim. He said, go get him, Rick, on his way out of the Chicken or the Egg. So we appreciate you, Tim. Yes, go get him, Rick. Ricky's going to make a play at
hey,
some
look,
point.
Hey, look, he stepped in. We might have to replace Kyle with him.
He was a natural.
Heck yeah.
He was a natural. I know you spoke about Paul Reed a little bit earlier, man, but he did give you some good minutes here. 10 points, 8 rebounds to lead the team in rebounding. He had 2 blocked shots. He had 3 steals. And he had 4 personal fouls, which is just means that, look, he was active, and sometimes those things go against you a little bit, but he was 4 for 6. He did not take a 3 today. There were a few opportunities where I thought he could have hoisted up a 3, but he didn't force it. He didn't do anything that he didn't need to do. He gave the ball up. He did not turn the ball over today, which is also a positive for Paul Reed. I thought he was good. Combining him with Mo Bamba, the good minutes that Bamba gave you, and then also the good minutes here that Paul Reed gave as well. I thought Paul Reed was good.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep.
Again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Is that it for the Super Chats? That is.
That is it for the Super Chats. Yeah, so I thought Paul Reed was good. But, I mean, so, some of the things that really stand out, they have another game coming up here tomorrow, over 24 hours now, but they have another game coming up here tomorrow in Sacramento to take on the Kings. The Kings, once again, they're also in that mix of trying to find their way in the Western Conference in a favorable standing. They are half a game out of the play-in behind the Phoenix Suns at 41-29. They have won 7 of their last 10, the Kings have. And they are off tonight, so they're waiting for the Sixers tomorrow in Sacramento. Tough place to play.
Tough place to play.
Domantas Sabonis
is playing
well.
They'll have the rest advantage. Yep.
De'Aaron Fox, of course, 2 all-star level players. Malik Monk can go off at any minute coming off the bench. Or is he starting as of late? No, Kevin Herter's been like, I think he's even injured right now. Yep. But they have a pretty good basketball team, and they're also fighting for seeding purposes. What are your thoughts on this game? Second day, and it's going to be night, though, but second day of the back-to-back, second leg of the back-to-back. As we look ahead to the Kings, what are you previewing for that game?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've made my opinion clear on back-to-backs. You very rarely get a good basketball game on a second half of a back-to-back. And that's in part why I was a little bit surprised that Nick Nurse seemingly targeted that game to try to go for by resting Lowry and having a DNP CD for Batum. So it's going to be tough. I do think maybe having Kyle fresh and having Nick fresh might help offset that a little bit. But records in back-to-backs tend to be real bad. The Kings are not a great matchup for them. I don't know how they're going to stop that 2-man game between Sabonis and Fox. I think they could struggle with that in a big way. And, I mean, the Kings are going to play at a high pace and get up a lot of threes. They don't make a ton of them. They're about league average in terms of makes, but they get up a lot of threes. And I could see the Sixers struggling defensively with that one for sure. On the positive side, they don't get to the free throw line a ton. They don't get to the rim a ton. They're not a perfect offensive team. In fact, I think if you look at their offensive rating, they're somewhere in mid-pack. But they're a real good defensive rebounding team. You're going to struggle to get second chance points. You are going to have to defend the three-point line. You're going to have to get back in transition. And those are all kind of things the Sixers aren't necessarily great at. Throw in the addition of a back-to-back. It's going to be tough to pull out a win there. That being said, I don't think any – well, first of all, I also said they would have struggled to get this win, and so clearly I don't know anything. They clearly have a chance tomorrow, and if I'm picking them to lose, and that might, that might be a good omen
chances.
For them.
Yep. Right.
But getting this win now means that, yeah, that's a tough spot tomorrow night. But you came away, quite frankly, I don't think anybody expected them to go 2-2 on this road trip. If you do end up 1-3, like I broke it down earlier, you really only need about 3 more wins to lock in a top 8 seed. You'd love to get more. You'd love to get greedy. You'd love to have that 7-8 game at home if you can. You'd certainly love to get in the top 6 and avoid the play-in completely. But you came away with a huge one today. So that will make whatever happens tomorrow a little easier to tolerate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, and Prophet backs you up there and says, yes, the Kings are a high-paced team, yep. Of course, up-tempo team, where the Clippers are not. So in this particular case, we've seen them in this type of game against the Indiana Pacers. They play a similar style where the Pacers like to get up and down the floor, and the Sixers have struggled, certainly against the Indiana Pacers. I'll add on to your point on the negative side first. It's also the getaway game.
Yep.
Getaway games, a lot of times for teams, go the wrong way, where you can get blown off the floor in the first half because you're just ready to go home.
Yep.
Now, it's only a four-game trip.
I mean, if I'm being honest, that's sort of like the way I am right now. Last 10 minutes of show, I'm just waiting to get my wings. So this is a getaway portion of the show.
Yeah.
But I'm hungry, man.
I get it. But
you get away from this damn table.
Yeah, but here's the positive of it. Here's where I look at it. If they can once again get off to a fast start, and we say it a lot of times when the Sixers are doing it, if you let a team hang around long enough, like the Clippers did today, they're going to believe that they can win. And they're going to try to do that against the Sacramento Kings. They're going to feel like they can run up and down the floor. They're going to move the ball. They're going to play at a fast pace themselves. Kyle Lowry's going to push the pace. You know Tyrese Maxey is more than capable of doing the same thing and keeping up with De'Aaron Fox. It's just a matter of the others, including, which I wanted to get into with you, one former Sacramento King, and that's Buddy Hield. When you go home, even though it's been a couple of seasons, he's been in Indiana, just similar to what Davon said about Tobias. Maybe Buddy Hield is going to feel comfortable back there in that arena, and he knows the rims, and he wants to have a good game against his former team. They can certainly use it tomorrow night, because what are the chances you're going to get 23 again from campaign? Not much, right? And Tobias certainly is capable of 24 points, but will he do it again?
He's also capable of two.
Right, as we've seen against a playoff team. So, forecasting it a little bit, I think if Kyle Lowry's back, Buddy Hield's most likely coming off the bench again. And if Kelly Oubre is okay, yes, he finished the game, but maybe it's something that's a lingering thing that doesn't allow him to play on the second night as they travel to Sacramento, even though it's a short flight. They need Buddy Hield in Sacramento to play well, play better.
Yeah, and to your point, like, we can talk about the Clippers being a bad matchup. We can talk about the Kings, especially on the second half of a back-to-back, being a bad matchup. But if shots go in, especially if three-point shots go in, that can be the great equalizer in today's NBA. That's why in a one-game series, any team can beat any team, just about. Maybe that's not true for the Wizards, but we're not the Wizards, so whatever.
Or the Pistons.
Or the Hornets, whatever.
Or the Hornets.
But for the most part, night to night, anything can happen, in part because the game is so dominated by a three-point line. If you have another performance like tonight where you just come out and Kelly's making threes to start and maybe Buddy gets going, Tobias is aggressive, things can open up. And if you get that sort of boost early on, then Tyrese carries you down the stretch like he did here today, anything can happen. That's 100% true. Today was a perfect example of that. And by picking up this win here today, you are able to go out there and get, you're running on house money. And if you can pull that out tomorrow night, then you would be in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, man. So 39-32 right now. The Sixers, 11 games left on the season. And you mentioned if they can get the four. Well, they got one.
Yep.
They need three more right now. Miami currently leading the Cleveland Cavaliers in Miami by a score of 50-34. At the moment. So 50-34 in the second quarter with 4 minutes and 40 seconds to play. So Miami is capable of doing this where they knocked them off. So right now the Sixers are currently half game up on Miami, but Miami has a chance to even the record right there at 39-32.
Yep.
By taking care of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We also need to tell everybody about our schedule this week, because we have a busy one this week. We'll be back tomorrow night after the Kings-Sixers game for a postgame. We'll be back at home in our homes, late night postgame. A lot of people have been hanging out with us on these late night postgames from Phoenix and Los Angeles, and we appreciate it.
Props to all of you for showing up, too. I mean, we had a good showing on all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Win, loss, doesn't matter. 1 a.m., you guys have been there. I appreciate that so very much.
We need you for one more night.
I need you just a little jolt of energy, because like we've all mentioned, I'm not a night person. I'm not a night owl. I'm more awake at 7 a.m. than I am at midnight. So I'm going to need a little bit of boost there. Can't wait to hang out with you guys tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow night. Tuesday we'll be back, and we'll be back for a regular show, 2:30 show on Tuesday. Wednesday, Sixers are back at home for one game.
Yep.
One game. And that is against, I was just looking at it.
Clippers.
It is the Clippers.
Yeah.
James Harden coming back to Philadelphia. A little revenge for the Clippers after the Sixers knocked them off. A little revenge. Or the Sixers might have their number. Right? They've got their number. They take care of business. So we'll have postgame on Wednesday for the Sixers and the Clippers once again. Then we're off on Thursday, back on Friday. But Friday, Derek, what are we doing, man? We're on the road again.
We are
Deke's
on the road
Barbecue.
Again.
We're going to be Deke's Barbecue on the road, so we'll be back in the city. If you want to come hang out with us, and of course, we'll put our schedule up on our Twitter account.
Yep, and we'll, if you forget, we'll mention that throughout the week. We'll tweet about it. But yeah, it would be cool if you all can stop by.
Oh, my man just almost fell on his neck trying to dunk Duke. James Madison, Duke handling their business against James Madison here for the right to play. Oof. Sweet 16.
Yeah, he looks hurt.
Yeah, wait till you see the replay. He went full extension and fell. Look at that. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's rough. But, yes, that's our schedule. So we are going all the way through Wednesday with a day off on Thursday. Then we're back on Friday and Sunday as the Sixers then travel to Toronto to take on the Raptors. Maybe an opportunity for the Sixers to pick up one of those three wins that we talk about and help out their record going here down the stretch. We still don't know much about Joel Embiid, but whatever Drew Hanlon says he's in town, I mean, work's being done with both Tyrese Maxey.
Yep.
And certainly when he said it this time, Tyrese Maxey's on the road. Joel Embiid is back at home. So hopefully he's getting some work in. That means the ramp up is getting him ready for an opportunity to get back on the floor. 11 games to go. We talked about like the last five games. If he can come back for the last five games, that would be great.
So the last five games, there's some winnable games in there too. You've got the Nets, you've got the Magic, Pistons, Spurs, like there's Grizzlies. You have some games that you can win there. So that's why when we start talking about, they just need to go 3-8 to clinch the top eight seed, they should be able to get this done, especially if he comes back and is able to go.
Yeah, man. Yep. So an opportunity. And with that, there's still, after this win, Indiana is playing the Lakers tonight. So go Lakers. And for the Sixers, if you're a Sixer fan, go Lakers. They took care of business with the Sixers on Friday. Maybe they can do the same against the Pacers. And if that is the case, the Sixers and the Pacers will be tied in terms of the games back and in the loss column, because the Pacers would be 40-32 with the Sixers. One more game played, 39-32 as well. All right, let's get ready to wrap things up, man. We got a lot of people to thank. And who do we have? we might have them. Oh, look at that. Well, while we do that, let's thank some people.
What is he doing?
That
I don't
we
want
have
Ashley
here.
On the show. Enjoy your vacation.
And the super chat. Let's say some thank you to some people here, our super chats. Who are our super chats? Jay, Davon.
Jay, Val, and a couple from Davon.
All right,
appreciate you guys,
you
especially Davon, always in here. We also want to shout, is Kyle actually here? Kyle's not actually.
Is he doing this really? Oh, man, we didn't really. All right, let's go to Kyle.
This MF-er needs so much attention. He's calling in from his vacation. Like, he doesn't get enough screen time. Come on now, Kyle.
Oh, man, look at this guy.
At least you could have done it from the beach. Come on.
You guys had a good time at the Chag.
Well, thank you, man. Enjoy your...
Can't hear him. Forgot his mic.
But look, man, they got a win. Goodbye. Look at that. You look clean shaven. He took the he took the Manscaped on the trip for the face. Look at that. Absolutely, man. He's on the trip. He's got the nice vacation shirt on. Good to see you, man. Kyle, look at that.
I can't.
Well, listen, man. You go enjoy. We did that as a little funny thing there, just to see if you would accept it, and you did. Enjoy your trip, man. I tell your beautiful wife that we said have fun as well. We'll see you when you get back, man. Be safe. They got a win too. Look at that on the road.
All right, we also want to shout out X-Man, Remo K, Fusion, Aaron, Coach Joel.
What up, Aaron?
2 minute warning,
Coach.
Mark Jackson.
What up, Al?
Front running fan base. Liam Stevens, Cannoli, Larry Jackson, Brian Knight. Spiffy McZender.
Whoa, what up, Spiff?
Stephen J. Eugene Ross. Rick Morse. Jed Jungle. Winona. Gracie. Kyle Newbeck.
What up, Kyle?
And Bootzilla. I see Bootzilla.
Boots.
And everyone else for tuning in. Appreciate you all. Fun time here tonight, and hopefully another good game tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely, man. Well, everybody, again, have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy this win by the 76ers. Once again, 121-107 over the Clippers. For Derek and Brianna, I'm Devon Gibbons, and we thank everybody here at the Chicken or the Egg once again for having us. It's been a fantastic time spending all this time here. Great food, great atmosphere. Don't forget about the March 31st Easter brunch at Marlton. Go check it out. And again, the website, go check them out on their website if you want a little more information. Once again, thecheg.com to come hang out at Marlton. We'll talk to you tomorrow after the Kings and the Sixers. See ya.